Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Let's go out to the phones. 888-957-9570. What is the matchup that matters to you? What is the aspect of this series that you are really focused on? For me, it's the Warriors' brains. I just think there is too much savvy, too much veteran know-how, too much playoff experience, too much ability to work the officials. And so you can Shangoon me, and you can say, can I get an amen? And you can all you want with all of these athletic freaks that the Houston Rockets have. The Warriors are smarter. Been there, done that, and I just cannot for the life of me see how this thing goes longer than 6 games and how anybody but the Warriors comes out on top.
I think it is a 6-gamer, and I put this out earlier on the YouTube chat, I think during the Steiny and Guru experience. I have it as a loss, win, 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 loss, win. I think they lose game one.
Okay.
And then they get the split in two. They hold serve at home. You go back to Houston, you lose, and you close it out here in game 6.
I can see that.
That's just my official Nostradamus prediction.
Yep.
You can lock it up, cuckoosh, or you can just leave it alone. There it is.
But you're betting the Rockets in game one, huh?
I'm not betting anything.
Minus a point and a half.
Yeah, I'm not betting anything when it comes to the association.
Yeah, I don't.
I find it to be so difficult. I mean, just.
I've done okay this year. I don't want to. Yeah, like unless something jumps out of the page for a Warrior game, I'm going to avoid those because my brain gets all scrambled.
Yeah, and I do
I can't bet against the Warriors. What are we talking about here?
Right. I like a game 2 wager, and in this case, if the Warriors do win game 1. Then they'll go into game 2 and they'll probably be favored by 4.5 or 5, I would guess.
That's a big number on the road, but maybe.
And if they lose game 1, then they'll probably be favored by 2.5 or 3 in game 2.
Well, if they lose game 1, I like them even more in game 2.
That's my point. Yeah,
that's when a champion shows up, I think often. And Houston just doesn't have enough offense to run away from the Warriors. So that's the other thing I would foresee. Close basketball games. And if you give me close basketball games, I understand where one person could be like, well, give me the team that's going to rebound better and is more athletic and all that. And I'm like, I'd like the team that's more likely to get a whistle and make their free throws. And that's the Warriors, 100%.
No doubt.
But we'll see. We'll see. What do you think? All right, Jonathan in the city on Willard and Dibs. Hi, Jonathan. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking my phone call. And I totally agree with you, man. At this point, the Rockets are kind of like Nassim Ahmed, a one-trick boxer. And, you know, we're gonna box him. We're going to counter when he throws that one trick, and we're going to counter accordingly. And also, I want to see, you know, if this is wishful thinking, I want to see DeSantos on his way to grabbing one of those rebounds just accidentally sits on and lands his butt right on Dylan Brooks' face. And before he gets up, let's go of a really wet fart.
What is happening? Jonathan, what is this? What are you doing right now, man? Like, have you had a few, or what's happening to you today?
No, that guy triggers me. I'm not like Steve Drew that I let it go already. I still can't believe what he did to GP2. That was 1980s NBA is no place for today's NBA, and I can't let it go, guys.
Yeah. I understand that. I'm somewhere in between, but I'm not fully over, and thank you, Jonathan. I'm not fully over Dylan Brooks, but I didn't like Dylan Brooks before that happened. I just don't prefer basketball players like that. And I know what some of you are going to say, which is, well, wait a minute, you root for Draymond Green. I do see them as a little bit different. Draymond does push the line and cross the line, but he encompasses such unbelievable basketball know-how. I see Dylan Brooks. Now, he is impressed this year with the way he shot the ball. I'm not going to call him skillless by any stretch, but I do think Dylan is somebody who literally walks onto the floor and is looking to push, shove, fight, challenge the rules immediately. I don't mind trash talk. I don't mind getting in the other's head, but I'd love more skill than what I see with or the skill that you have, use it. I feel this way about James Harden, who's incredibly skilled.
Right.
But the skill that he uses most is trying to fool people. I'm like, dude, no, use your basketball skill.
It's not what he tries to do the most, but it is part of his repertoire. I'll give you that. And I don't think that Dylan Brooks is a guy who gets out on the floor and is thinking first and foremost about fouls, hard fouls, dirty play, and the rest of it. And this year, you pointed out the skill level, and he shot almost 40% from three.
He's their best three-point shooter this year by numbers.
He's 35.5% for his career, and this year he shot more threes than ever, and he made more threes. And, you know, he's 29. He's now been in the league for 8 years, and it looks like, well, this year might be the anomaly, but looks like he's actually improving and getting better. And I do have a little bit of a softer spot for him, having watched the documentary of the Olympics. Was it the gold? It wasn't gold medal, but it was
quarter gold.
Thank you, quarter gold. Thank you, Grandy. I'll make eye contact. Thank you, Grandy.
Yeah. Ding.
Yeah, ding yourself. Dylan Brooks, there's a scene where he's having dinner with family. It's like a table of 12.
Why is he in that? I didn't finish it. Why is Dylan Brooks in
this? Because they showcase not all the countries, but they do a thing on France. They did a thing on the Joker and his team, and they did a thing on Canada.
Dylan played for Canada?
Yes.
Okay,
got it. So there's a meal that they have, Dylan Brooks and his family, his parents and family friends and siblings, and he comes across as just a sweet, lovable Canadian.
What did he order?
I didn't really look at his plate, and they didn't really dwell on it that long, but you see him out to dinner.
That's what I want to know. Isn't that what you ask someone when they tell you that they went to a restaurant? What'd you get?
Right, but I didn't ask him.
No,
I didn't talk to him. Yeah, and it was like a two-minute thing.
I'm just telling you why I was interested in knowing that. Yeah. I wanted to know. You can learn something.
I can go back and look at it.
You can learn a thing or two about a person based on what they order.
And the way he came across in that scene and in that documentary, Court of Gold, thank you, Grandy. You could probably, you know, co-sign on this. He came across better than what I thought he was.
Well, hold on.
I'm probably the only person in this market who doesn't hate Dylan Brooks.
Yeah, because
he went to Oregon.
Thank you.
I have actually talked to him as a person. He is a very fine person.
Oh, God.
What? Person. I don't know about a basketball player, but as a person.
How long did you talk to him to be able to come to that? Well,
over the course of multiple times.
Uh-huh.
As a member of the media.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
If you really like him, you would have called him something better than very fine person.
So when someone speaks to a media member, even multiple times, you then know, you know that person.
Yeah, you know Steve Kerr.
Mm. I don't claim to know Steve Kerr. I think judgments on Steve Kerr can be based on a lot of things because for over a decade, we've watched the way he's handled multiple situations, what he has said about certain things, not just the fact that we've talked to him directly a whole bunch of times. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to claim, for instance, like, people will do this, like, the Warrior players, we feel like we know them, right? Because we've listened to them talk a million times. Do you know if they're a good dad or husband? And no clue.
No clue.
No clue.
No clue.
So I'm glad Dylan was nice to you before he got a paycheck.
Thanks.
But actions speak louder than words in my house.
I get that. And I'm just relaying what I watched and what I felt when I watched it. It doesn't mean that, you know, I'm all Team Brooks now, and I won't forget what he did to Gary Payton, even though Steve Kerr has said that's in the past and, you know, you got to move forward. I just look at this series, and you talk about matchups. I'm looking at the Dylan Brooks-Draymond Green matchup, not head-to-head, but more about composure and who gets more technical fouls in this series.
Who gets more technical fouls in the series?
Pretty even matchup, I think.
Pretty even matchup. It's a playoff, so probably Draymond.
And Dylan's not afraid to get a tech. He got 16 this year, number two in the league.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app. And now, coming to you live from the Laughing Mug Studios. Okay, here we go. Keep going. It's Sparky, everybody, in Alameda. Hi, Sparky. What are you doing?
Oh, having a get-together with the kids at school right now, actually.
Oh, nice.
But, you know, I got to show up to be a father sometimes.
Nothing says being a good dad like calling a radio show from a kids' event.
It's the passion. It's the playoffs. We got to do some of the things sometimes. But since you guys were so much into Dylan Brooks, I cannot wait to quote Claymore, Clay Thompson calling him a clown because he called his how good they were doing a dynasty back when they got their ass whooped and Clay Thompson came on the media saying, I cannot wait when this clown said, I cannot wait winning games is a dynasty, but you know, this is what we do. That's what he said. Neither here or there. I'm happy to see them matching up. Yes. I think he has multiple ways to prove himself because I think he got something personal against the Warriors. And you know what? It's the playoffs. Let the game comes. Let the best win. Neither here or there, I think our players are getting older and we deserve a chip. But they got to show it. They want it too. You know, we can wish all we want, but the players got to show their job and we hope for the best.
Yep, they got to go do it. Sparky, I'll say this. It's funny when he says, in this case, he's talking about Dylan Brooks. Like, I think he's got something personal against the Warriors. Do you know what I've noticed? Because, and again, the Warriors have changed so many times, but if you're talking about the core, Steph and Draymond and Steve, I guess you want to put Kevon Looney in there too, sure.
Yep.
Almost everybody in the league has something against those guys because they've been around for so long and have succeeded so much that if I said, does LeBron have something against the Warriors? Yep. LeBron's got something against the Warriors. Does Dylan Brooks have something against the Warriors? Absolutely.
James Harden?
James Harden.
Yep.
James Harden thinks the Warriors are why he hasn't won a championship. Let's say they got to the finals. Does Boston have beef with the Warriors? Do they have something that they'd like to say to the Golden State Warriors? Like, there are so many matchups where somebody's got something Warrior-related in their craw. And it's just, it's a compliment to them. It's just because they've been there so long and they've succeeded so many times.
It's the ultimate compliment because, and that's where I think when, you know, Ryan Hollins talks about it being a rivalry, if you're Houston, you see this as a rivalry because you want what the Warriors have had four times over. And so you look at this matchup and you're hungry for it. So you take them on as a quote rival, even though the last four times these teams have met in the postseason, the Warriors have won all four of those series. So is it really a rivalry when you beat Houston every time in the playoffs? Probably not, but Houston looks at it and thinks, it's a rivalry because we want to do what you've already done.
No doubt. 888-957-9570. How about Steve-O in the city? Hi, Steve-O. What's good?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Happy Friday.
Yes, sir.
I want to thank you for a little bit of that Giants talk and shout out Wilmer Flores, RBI leader in the league. But we are here to talk about the Warriors, and the matchup I'm concerned about is Şengün and Draymond. And the reason is Şengün's proven that he can get under Draymond's skin, and we need Draymond to be clear-headed. He's been so good this season, and we need him to just focus with intensity on his defense, get his rebounds, maybe a couple of random threes here and there. But that's the matchup that I really am most concerned about. Thanks again, guys. And right. Let's go, Dubs.
Yeah, let's go, Steve. Thanks, man. I can see that. Look, that game a couple of Sundays ago, one of the best games I've ever seen Şengün play. And he's a good player. I'm not saying that this was like out of pocket. He's a really good player. But I was really impressed by him that day. Don't think you're going to get that level of output from him every game. And I also, like, is Draymond going to be up against the line? Sure, that's where Draymond often plays, and the playoffs are here. So I think he'll pick his spots to kind of push the envelope a little bit. But the idea of a 22-year-old player sort of outmaneuvering Draymond in terms of the mental side of the game and trash-talking and getting under his skin and everything, come on. Come on now. Like, if we've got any faith that Draymond Green is the future Hall of Famer that he is not going to let a 22-year-old outwit him off the court and lead him to technicals and a suspension or something like that. I doubt that very much.
I don't think that that's going to be the way Şengün would go about it. I think that the way he plays with a relentlessness on the glass especially, and he's a guy who can certainly score, and he's also somebody who, like many players in the association, upon little contact, he can throw himself to the ground. And this happened in the last time the Warriors played them, and Şengün went down a couple of times really, really easily. So it's not only baiting Draymond through his words and trash talk. He won't do that, but he certainly is going to try to get Draymond Green to contact him, and he might, you know.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Like most car buyers, you want to get the most for your money. That's why more Mazda buyers choose Ramsey Mazda. Get impressive offers on a new Mazda CX-30 or a Mazda CX-5 starting at just $29,276. Over 1,000 new Mazda vehicles to choose from. Visit RamseyMazda.com. Get the most for your money at Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Try to draw a couple of fouls with some floppery. That sort of thing is just as effective, theoretically, in getting to Draymond as words are. That actually might make him even angrier.
Maybe. And again, like, I don't think that that matchup is even solely on Draymond Green. In fact, I know it's not. Like, I know that the Rockets team is aware of the fact that Kevon Looney has had a lot of success guarding Alperen Şengün so far this year. So you're going to see that matchup. And Draymond move to the four or take a break at certain times. So I think the Warriors have a lot of stuff to throw at him defensively. Very good player. He's going to have his successes, but baiting Draymond into a problem, I doubt. Let's go to Dan, Highway 4. Again, 888-957-9570, taking your calls on what you see as the matchup that matters in this series. Hi, Dan. Thanks for calling. What's up?
What's up, Willer? What's up, Div? The matchup I'm looking at is Steph Curry versus the refs. He tends to never get a whistle. I mean, not never, but a lot of times he doesn't get the whistle he deserves. And I feel like for a superstar, he deserves a whistle. Do you guys think he should, like, act out getting fouled more, like, be more dramatic about it? I'm not saying complain to the refs or, like, play it off a little more because he gets held. He gets fouled all the time. He doesn't get a whistle. And another question I'll take off the air. How many technical fouls does Curry have in his career? I really don't remember any. Thank you.
All right, thanks. Yep. He has had some. Did he get ejected for the mouthpiece thing?
He's been ejected, I believe, 3 times in his career. Ejected. 2 times for the mouthpiece. One, he threw it when Jordan Poole didn't pass him the ball, and he threw it and it happened to go into the crowd,
right?
And he was ejected. And there was another one where he threw it, I think, not into the stands, but off of the scores table, essentially. And that was an ejection. And there was a third ejection that I couldn't find the video of, but he usually gets about one tech a year. And as Steve Kerr told us a couple of weeks ago, complaining doesn't work. Those were Steve Kerr's words.
Yes, he did say that.
Right.
So then I asked him, so why do you do it?
Human nature.
Humans.
Michael Jackson.
Yeah, so this is according to AI on Google, so take it for what it's worth.
Yep.
But AI on Google says that as of March of this year, as of a month ago, and I'm pretty sure Steph hasn't gotten any in the last month, that Steph Curry has accumulated a total of 28 technical fouls in his 16-year NBA career. So it's a little bit less than 2 per year if you go over his entire career. 28 technical fouls in 16 years. And it is wild because I don't know if you could do this with Warrior basketball with anything else. Is there anything else that's happened 28 times and you can barely remember any of them? Like, I can remember a couple, but Steph Curry and technical fouls, did he get one in Brooklyn or did he just get a foul? Remember when he got so ticked at the ref and he just took the inbound pass underneath Brooklyn's hoop and shoved one of the Nets players?
I think he got a tech for that because he also kind of stood over the top of the Brooklyn guy.
But he was sending a specific message. Like, I didn't take that as Steph losing his cool. I took that as Steph being like, dude, I need to shake the refs. Hello, are you listening to my message? And by the way, it freaking worked because they went down by 23 points in the first quarter and then they came back and won that game.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the internet and it's saying that in game 6 of the NBA Finals in 2016, he was ejected after throwing his mouthpiece into the crowd. But then it goes on to say he was called for his 6th foul with 4:22 left in the fourth quarter. So you already fouled out. Can you foul out and get ejected?
Sure.
I mean, I suppose. Sure. So
it doesn't affect the game, but yes, right. you have to go to the locker room. Yeah,
you don't get
you
to
leave.
You don't get to sit on the bench. You got to go in the tunnel Jonathan Kuminga.
And got to go home, but you can't stay here.
Yeah. So I guess that was one of his ejections in the NBA Finals after fouling out, which I don't know how many times he's actually fouled out of games. Probably not many more than he's been ejected.
Yeah, I would say less.
Yep.
Less. 6 fouls for Steph Curry. That's pretty wild.
Really quick, in that game in Brooklyn in early March, when Steph just, there was full court pressure from the Nets, and he shouldered the Nets defender and then kind of stood over the top of him, just called for an offensive foul, but Steve Kerr was called for a tech.
Yeah.
Arguing after.
Yeah. I look, they're all trying to protect each other, and they were trying to send a message to the refs, and I think that message was received because that game got officiated differently from that point forward. It's not why the Warriors came back to win. They came back to win because they're way, way better than the Brooklyn Nets. But I remember, and that's kind of what I mean about watching these games that are coming up and the tone that's set by the refs. That game, it was clear that Brooklyn was going to come out, totally beat him up, and Steph very clearly felt the refs were not paying attention. They were not protecting him. They were not calling things that needed to be called. So even down by a ton of points, he went ahead and took an offensive foul. Steve went and got a tech. It was like, all at once, we're going to go send this message to the refs. And it worked. It absolutely worked. So sometimes it's not just emotion run amok. It's strategic getting a technical foul.
Absolutely. And as Draymond has proven over and over and over again, when you get the first tech, then you've got a certain amount of leash before you get that second tech, because they don't want to eject a star player. As much as fans think that the refs might be out to get somebody, you get the first tech and it's like, okay, that's a T, enough. And then the player is going to go even further and make the referees have to eject a player, which they don't want to do. So a lot of times when Draymond gets that first tech, then he doubles down on what he's actually trying to do out there.
Absolutely.
One night, one goal. Stop suicide. On June 21st, New York City will host the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's milestone 30th Out of the Darkness Overnight Walk. Over the last 20 years, people have described the overnight as one of the most powerful experiences of their lives. Now is the perfect time to join us as people from all over the country come together to stop suicide. Walk over 16 miles from dusk till dawn to raise much-needed funds for this important cause. You'll form lasting friendships, experience healing and love, and bring hope to those affected by suicide. Be a part of this life-changing event. The American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's Out of the Darkness Overnight Walk. June 21st. Register now at theovernight.org or call 888-THE-OVERNIGHT. That's 888-843-6837.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.